Today we're going to be starting in a new segment or series of messages. We're going to be looking at spiritual personal growth. Many times we look at what we need to do or what God is doing in our lives or what God is doing in the life of the church, and we don't realize that He is trying to grow us spiritually. Many times we believe that we've already achieved the spirituality that God wants us to keep, that God wants us to maintain. The fact is, God wants us to continue to grow. And that's why we need to draw near to God. And it's not just about drawing near to God, it's about resisting the power of Satan in our lives. It's hard for us to draw near to God. Many times, I know in my walk, when I got saved, there were lots of different things in my life that did not reflect the person of Jesus Christ. I'm sure it was like that with you as well. Amen? When we got saved, when I got saved, there were lots of things that did not reflect the person of Christ. So as I try to draw near to God, I can only get so close to Him because all of those different things that are in my life hinder who I am going to be, who He wants me to be, and where I am in my personal walk. All of those things in my life. So what does God do? He disciplines us. He chisels off little pieces of us that don't reflect the person of Christ. That way, when He gets all done with us, that way we reflect the persona, the person of Jesus Christ. Now, it's hard for me even yet today to draw near to God. Yes, God has done a wonderful work in my life. Yes, God has changed a lot of things in my life. He has taken a lot of things out of my life that do not reflect the person of Jesus Christ. But still, there are things in my life that hinder my progress. See, drawing near to God and resisting the devil are not things that we are born with spiritually when we get saved. They are things that we must learn over a lifetime. And God is developing us over our lifetime to reflect the person of Jesus Christ, the one who gave His life for us. Amen? On the cross at Calvary. Many times we look at our walk and we think, well, you know, it's all right. Yes, I know I can always do better. But it's all right. Problem is, it's like an art form. The more you use it, the more you learn, the more you realize you're further from Him than what you thought. It used to be, when I first got saved, I read the Bible and I thought I knew everything about God. Amen? I now know all about God. After all, I was raised in church. I now understand what He's wanting in my life. I got saved, I read the Bible, now I know God. Problem is, the more I read the Bible, the more I realized I didn't know God. The more I read the Bible, I realized that I am not the person that God wants me to be. The more I read the Word, it was like taking things away from me that I held near and dear. Things that made me feel good about myself. It's called pride. Some of us still have some of that, amen? Come on, if you're lying, you're dying. This morning, I believe God wants us to begin our journey of personal growth, in this next step that he's wanting us to take, he wants us to look at James. As James was reaching those that were scattered throughout all of that region, he wants us to realize that he's still at work in our lives, and that there are things in our lives that he's trying to weed out as well as bring in. So turn with me this morning to James, the fourth chapter, and I want to begin in verse 7. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. James chapter 4, we're just going to read a few verses. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful that you just don't begin a work in us and leave us alone, but that you are continuing to form and to fashion us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And that requires a lot of work. That requires a lot of work on your part, but it also requires a lot of work on our part as we receive what you are doing. So, Father God, help us today to see from your word what your desire is for each and every one of our lives, as we draw near to you this day. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. In that eighth verse, he says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. He says, cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Why would he say that directly in context with what he was originally saying? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Because many times we believe, we're double-minded now, many times we believe that we can draw near to God without purifying our hearts. We believe that we can walk the path that God has chosen for us, just as I am, rather than allowing God to change us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear, and James was trying to help those that were scattered throughout all of the region. He actually said, rejoice when you fall into different kinds of problems. Really? Rejoice when I lose my job? Rejoice when I hit my thumb with the hammer? There's something you ought to rejoice over, amen? Rejoice when you fall into different kinds of problems. Why? In his writing, he's telling us what God is desiring, because God is wanting to do a work in our lives so that we can grow spiritually. So that we can grow personally. And that's what this entire series is all about. Personal growth. Well, the first thing I believe God wants us to see is that if we're going to grow personally, we must raise our standards. We have to raise our standards, and these standards are first done within our homes. Now, Christian patterns are first set within the home. These patterns are things that are burned into our psyche. They are burned into who we are. It's all about what we have experienced in life. I know, being raised on the farm, my mom and dad did the best they could in raising me and my brother and my sister as well. But life on the farm was not always rosy. Matter of fact, most of the time it smelled. Why? Because we had pigs and we had cattle. And sometimes our lives reflected that. No matter how much we washed ourselves, it seemed like there was always a stench of hog on our hands. Hi, how are you doing? My name's Craig. There were things in our lives that we experienced when things did not go right. My mom was more passive. My dad was more aggressive. And we would witness how my dad would interact with my mom when things did not go right. Oh, he became furious. Oh, he would throw things. Oh, he would call her names. Oh, it was terrible to witness that. And what did I do in my young married life? I did the same thing. Why? Because that's the pattern I learned at home. See, these patterns are developed in the home. Whatever the kids see mom and dad doing is what they have patterned into their lives. That's why we also see character principles being formed in our lives. But character is never ever developed on the mountaintops. Character is developed in the valleys of life. How do you respond when things don't go right? How do you respond when there's animosity being shown towards you? How do you respond when you made these plans, but now this has taken place? Christian patterns and character principles are developed in the valleys of life when things are not going well and God is dealing with us and we're trying to figure things out and things just aren't working. My associate pastor at Warsaw taught me a very valuable lesson. He said, Pastor, when things aren't going right, it's not necessarily that you examine yourself to see what you're doing wrong. You need to examine and see what God is trying to teach you. Because when you learn what it is God is trying to teach you, then he will lead you out of that valley unto a glorious mountaintop on the other side. See, he's teaching character during the valleys of life. He's teaching us to trust him. He's teaching us to be faithful. He's teaching us to look to him for guidance rather than to ourselves. And when we learn what it is he's trying to teach us, then he leads us out of that valley to the mountainside on the other side. Personal growth. We need to raise our standards. Secondly, we need to restore our strength. Now, when we look at restoring our strength is restored, first of all, through the church, in the unity of the church. Our strength is restored through unity. There is power in numbers. But that power in numbers is only available if those numbers are unified. If there isn't unity, there is no power within the body. If there's no unity, the body becomes weak. Let me explain to you how that works. When I was at First Baptist Church in Warsaw, I followed a very fine pastor. He actually became the director of missions in that association. And so I followed him. And he had an associate pastor, which was somewhat questionable. Anyway, they were both doing things that really should not ever be done within the church. Now, we're talking finances. The associate pastor would come into the pastor's study and sit down in the chair and as he would get up, there might be a nail or maybe a staple that snagged his trousers. Oh, my. Well, they took him to Men's Warehouse and bought him a complete suit on the church. And when the pastor needed new tires, bought new tires on the church. Every time he needed an oil change, change the oil on the church. Matter of fact, the pastor would entertain from time to time, and the church bought him china and silverware. Well, you know what? That was never voted on. And there were people that were upset, and there was dissension and division and dissension, and sides were warring against one another, and slowly but surely people just started dropping out. It didn't happen all at once. It just dropped out just a little bit at a time. It's like a cancer eating away at the body because there wasn't any unity. I came on the scene, and of course, they didn't trust at all. We had a financial audit of the church, and we found out things after the fact. It was like, oh my goodness. Beyond that, though, God started blessing that membership because now they were all unified. And they were all unified for one common cause. Let me tell you, when we are unified, God is able to do things through us because of the unity of the body. Everyone doing a particular job. You know, the nominating committee should never, ever have to go ask somebody to do a job. Yes, we'll have openings from time to time. But God has someone planned for those openings. And that's their job, to find that individual, not just to fill it with a body. Well, our strength is restored also through our usefulness. As we are used by God, God strengthens us so that he can use us in a greater way. Every time God uses us, he strengthens us so that he can use us in a greater way down the road. I know that when I was saved, the pastor asked me, because Vacation Bible School was coming up, would you teach a Vacation Bible School? It's like, I've never taught. I don't know what to do. He said, that's fine. God will show you. But I've never done this. That's all right. Don't worry about it. We'd love to have you be a teacher for Vacation Bible School. Well, what age group? The youth, of course. Oh, boy. Okay. All right, so I agreed to that. It was a success. Then they asked me to be the Sunday school teacher for the youth. And I went, oh, I've never done that. I've never taught for a long period of time. I don't know how to do that. That's fine, he says. God knows. Just trust God. Bless God, I did that. And I stumbled and I stammered and I don't know how I ever got through it, but the kids survived. I survived. The youth was growing and flourishing. And then the pastor said, well, Craig, we'd love to have you be a deacon. In order to be a deacon, though, you need to be able to stand in the pulpit and preach in my place. So we want you to start preaching from time to time. I've never done that. He said, that's great because God can do it. All you got to do is trust God. See, the more you're used, God empowers you and strengthens you to be used in a greater way. So I started preaching on Sunday nights. And then one Sunday he calls me. I didn't have anything prepared, much like what I did to Roland and Rob the other week. Hey, I'm not going to be there. I'm sick. So he says, get you a couple, take them to church. Okay. So I started doing that. And then they were talking about bringing me in officially. And so they were giving me questions that The deacons will be asked for ordination, and pretty soon, I just felt God blessing me. I felt His pleasure while I was preaching. And I realized God wanted me to do that. Sorry, Rob. He's shaking his head. No. I did the same thing. Pretty soon, I knew God was calling me to preach. So I surrendered to that. As God uses you, He strengthens you so that He can use you in greater ways. Never in a lesser way. Well, if we're going to grow personally, we not only need to raise our standards and restore our strength, but we need to regain our spiritual growth. Well, yeah, Pastor, that's what it's all about, spiritual growth. Yes, that's right. But that begins with personal devotion. I should have a raise of hands on that, but I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hands because I don't want to embarrass anyone that doesn't. But personal growth feeds our, excuse me, personal devotion feeds our hungry souls. Now, if we're truly saved, there ought to be a hunger that we have for the Word of God. There ought to be a hunger that we have that only the Word of God can satisfy that hunger. I thought that was silly, that I should have a hunger for the Word of God. But I'll find sometimes when I have a person that I'm close to, if I don't have contact with them every so often, that I have a longing to have contact with them. And that's the same way it is with God's Word. If we leave it out of our diet, pretty soon we have a hunger that only the Word of God can satisfy. But not only does it feed our hungry soul, it fortifies and fixes. Our helpless situation. There we go. It fortifies our helpless situation. When we fail to have devotion, when we skip it for the sake of time, there is an emptiness that we have within us that cannot be filled by anything else. That personal devotion is so, so important. And I will tell people that, and they will start a personal devotion. And then you mark my word, they will come back to me 6 months later and go, Pastor, I'm just really struggling with this devotion. It seems like I'm all empty again. It seems like I'm not deep enough. There's a hunger there that's just not being satisfied. Say, well, you suppose babies need a little something more than milk? They might need a little meat. See, when we give him 15 minutes, after a while, that 15 minutes is only fixing the need we had then. But now, 6 months later, we've got a greater need. We've got a greater hunger. And if we only can consider doing the same that we've done, we're going to stagnate. How many here have ever had anything more than milk their entire life? We all have had more than just milk. Where would we be physically if we only had milk? And that's all. Never any meat, never any veggies, never any pasta. Where would we be with no chocolate cake or ice cream? Where would we be if all we had was milk? Well, we'd be malnourished. And there are many Christians today that are spiritually malnourished because they either do the 15 minutes or they just fail to do it all together. wonder why they're having difficulty walking the path that God has chosen for them. Let me tell you. When we have a personal devotion, it feeds that hunger. It fortifies that situation that we have need of at that time. That's why it's important. Because many times we vacillate. And many times, it may not be real high and real low, but it might be just like this, just a little wave. Today we're hot, tomorrow we're cold. Today we're up, tomorrow we're down. Can't figure out why we've got this vacillation going on in our lives. God is trying to move and to move you beyond where you are at. He's trying to move us into a freshness to where we can walk the path and there'll be something different about us. And that leads me to the fourth point. To reclaim our separation. To reclaim our separation, because when we are separated, our walk will be exposed. Our walk is going to be different than the walk of someone in the world. Our walk is going to be something that reflects the person of Jesus Christ. That's why he wants us to grow spiritually, so that people will see Jesus in us as he is working in our lives, taking things out that reflect only Craig, things that do not reflect Jesus Christ, he removes so that our walk is exposed to the world. Not only that, our works are going to be exhibited. The things that we do are going to be different than the things that the world does. Because the world has a certain scheme. The world has a certain pattern that we follow. But God is not logical. He does not use human logic. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And when we learn that, he will use us and allow us to work, and our works will be exhibited. When I was pastoring at First Vandalia, there was a man there that was the custodian of the church. He was the custodian. His wife helped. His name was John. Her name was Lou. Last name was Willis. And John and Lou would come and they'd clean the church. They were just doing it as servants of Almighty God. Well, after a while, they were doing so much that people noticed what they were doing. I mean, they were waxing the floors and the fellowship, and all of these things. And so someone thought that they ought to be compensated, which I'm not opposed to. I'm not opposed to paying someone. The Bible says the laborer is worthy of his hire. And so they decided to compensate them. They had both just retired, and they were cleaning the church and doing many different things. But about 6 months after that, both John and Lou came to me. They said, "Can we talk to you for a moment, Pastor?" Well, yeah, something wrong. They go, "Well, I don't know if you call it wrong or not, but we just don't feel fulfilled anymore. After all, we're doing the same thing we've been doing, but now we're being compensated for it. It's like our blessing is being stolen from us." And I said, "Really? Do you want us to take the money back?" And I smiled at them. They went, "I don't know that that's the answer, Pastor." I said, "Could God be supplying a need that you have, and he's now moving you so that you can serve in a greater way? Because you don't have to worry about support anymore, because the church is support. Now you can do something within the church as a form of ministry." And they went, "Really?" I like making those little noises. When I see the light go off, that's what it sounds like. Well, they started an after-school program because their granddaughter was coming home to an empty house. So they thought, wouldn't it be great if the bus, we'd send a note to the school and the bus driver would drop them off right here? And so they started doing that, and within a couple weeks, to have an after-school program, they had 25 to 30 kids in an after-school program that became a ministry of First Baptist Church. It was so great. And I asked John and Lou. Of course, Lou was the good one with the little kids. John, he just played with them. Kind of kept order. Hey, 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 don't do that. You know, that kind of thing. They were so blessed because God was now using them. And their works were being exhibited and people were seeing what God was doing in them and through them. Oh, it's amazing. Well, lastly, we need to revive our soul winning. Oh, no, Pastor, you're talking about me sharing my faith. Yes, I am. Because that's all a part of your walk. See, I want to talk about the preparation of the servant. Because God uses individuals that are prepared to be used by Him. You're never going to lead someone to Jesus by accident. Amen? It's not going to happen. God's not just going to accidentally bring someone into your presence and you just don't have a thing to say to them. No, He's going to bring them into the presence of some servant that's prepared. We should always be prepared. Because God uses those individuals that are prepared to be used by Him. See, if we're not prepared, guess what? We're not going to win any souls. We're not going to be sharing our faith. That's why I believe it's the plan of the Scriptures that God set forth before the foundation of the world that His people would share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that do not know it. Yesterday, we took a ride down to the cross there at Alto Pass, Illinois. As we got down there, there was a few of the individuals that had to use the facilities. Because as you ride, you just, for some reason, just jiggles everything out of you. And you drink a lot, and so then you have to go a lot. And anyway, there was, the women were gone, there's the potty, and Dwayne had gone. And I'm standing there in an area where they will feed people. This guy comes walking up to me. He says, "You're a Blue Knight?" I went, "Yeah." He goes, "So where are you law enforcement at?" I went, "Oh, I'm not." I said, "I'm the chaplain for the Blue Knights." He goes, "Oh, that's cool." I said, "Not Dwayne. He's in the bathroom." I said, he's a member of the Blue Knights as well. And I said, we're from Belleville, Illinois 14. That's the group number. And so I said, they have rides every so often. They do some benefits every so often. And so they have meetings like once a month and so forth. And so we talked about the Blue Knights and so forth. And he says, "So you're the chaplain." And I guess he didn't know when he said that I was a pastor. And so I said, "Yeah, I'm their chaplain. I pastor full-time in Belleville." "Oh, you do?" And so I started talking to him about my faith. And then he started talking to me about his faith and how him and his wife not only travel nationwide, but they've traveled internationally as well. And she sings. It's like, wow, she's a gospel singer. She makes CDs, and they've traveled all over. Singing and so forth, and he is a police officer. I don't remember exactly where, do you? So God brings people into your presence. Sometimes He does it just to bolster your faith, just to know that He's working, just so that you know that it's not accidental acquaintances. This was divine. He goes out to the bike that he's riding, and he gets a CD, and he brings it back and gives it to me. He says, "Here's a CD of my wife singing. I hope you like gospel music. It's like, yeah, I do. So he gives us this CD. He says, hopefully we can come to your church someday. And we'll probably invite him sometime, her, to come and sing. Just kind of neat what God does. See, it's all about connecting the dots. It's all about seeing what God is doing in your life and through your life. That's why he wants us to draw near to him, but it's not enough for us to just resist the devil. And sometimes we try to just resist the devil and not do the things we're not supposed to do. No, resist the devil, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You can't draw near to God the way you are. But when you allow God to work in your life and remove those things that don't reflect the person of Jesus, God allows you to come a little closer. God wants you to take the next step. He's preparing you to take the next step so that he can use you in a greater way than he's ever used before. If our worship team will come, I'm encouraged that God is wanting to do a tremendous work in the life of this church, because he wants this church to be a light set up on a hill that cannot be hid. So today, through this invitation, God is inviting you to simply come. Maybe you need to allow him to take things out of your life. Maybe he's drawing you closer to him so that you might reflect the person of Jesus in your personal life. Let's all stand.
Just as I am with that one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
I pray that you're able to take in all the things that God wants you to digest. Because there are things that God is wanting to do in your life and through your life to build His kingdom right here in Belleville through this church, through this body of believers. So, as I learned many years ago, as I was feeding on the meat rather than the milk, sometimes there are just a small portion of the message that God really wants to burn into our hearts. We need to learn how to separate the meat from the bone. Those things that God wants to develop in our lives. So let's be dismissed. I pray you come back to hear Sean Hall, because I know he has a good word for what God wants to share with us through his ministry of First Priority. Let's be dismissed. Father God, you are so good, so great. We thank you for each one that has come here today. We pray a special blessing into their lives. We pray that you might move mightily in their lives, through their lives, so that they might experience you in this kingdom, building your kingdom right here through this church. We pray now that you dismiss us with your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.